Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. We touched on it a little bit for Tuesday's show, Andy, but what does LeBron James's knee injury mean for his future in LA? We'll dive deeper into it today on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Fridays, and sometimes Saturdays and Sundays. We get this thing up as early as we possibly can for you. Always have some fresh content available for people to talk about the Lakers. You can weigh in on the team by hitting us up at Cam Brothers on Twitter, on the YouTube page, the Locked On Lakers YouTube page every episode. You can leave comments there. And of course, by leaving a five-star review on our iTunes page, Locked On Lakers iTunes page, we'd love to hear from you guys and try to roll some of that feedback and commentary into each episode.
I believe it's now Apple, not iTunes. I don't think so anymore that that's what we call
it. Whatever it is, but people know what it is.
I just want to make sure that, you know, we seem cool and hip. Like, you know, we got to maintain the image.
I'm afraid that horse is out of the barn.
Got to maintain the image, Brian, that we've spent almost a year building up.
Yes.
Plus, I'd say an entire career.
Yeah. I have tremendous street cred. Mm-hmm. We'll get to Russell Westbrook too, but let's start with LeBron, Andy, because the knee injury that kept him out of Monday's game in San Antonio, the loss where the Lakers were really playing with a skeleton crew, the Lakers are hopeful it won't keep him out of Wednesday's game. Certainly won't keep him, they hope, out of a long stretch of games like it did earlier this season. But it's obviously a point of concern, because I think it's fair to say, Andy, while if LeBron plays, the Lakers are probably going to make the play-in as a 9 or a 10. If he doesn't, I would say all bets are off. If he misses half the remaining games or whatever it might be.
I mean, considering that it's not a done deal with LeBron.
Right.
I mean, as long as you don't know when AD is going to be back, and even thinking about this as glass half full as possible, you know there's only going to be a handful of regular season games left on the slate when AD comes back. And again, that's being really, really optimistic about this.
Yeah, because Frank Vogel, for people who kind of missed it, kind of left the door open to the possibility, you know, we're talking to the media earlier, I think it was end of last week, over the week, whatever it was, that Davis, when, you know, they're just going to reevaluate him later in the month. There's no guarantee he's going to be ready to play or win. Like,
right. So
absolutely.
If you're talking about less than 20 games left where you don't have AD for, let's say, 15 of them, maybe more, but 15,
that's fair.
And you don't have LeBron for 7 or 8. I mean, as much as the Lakers, we both thought, played a really spirited game in the context against San Antonio. And, you know, there are a lot of guys who had nice moments. If they got to compete that way for, you know, 10 of, I believe, 17 games left in the season. Yeah, there's a real distinct possibility they could be playing all together.
As plucky as they were on Monday, they did lose. There are obviously the short-term concerns about when LeBron is going to play, and we'll just have to kind of wait and see. Hopefully it's you know, the Houston game, tonight. But you raised long-term concerns and considerations as the Lakers head into a fascinating offseason. So much of the attention is about Westbrook, but some of the attention is also about LeBron and a potential extension that the Lakers could offer.
There is, I think, a very prevalent school of thought that, and, you know, this was obviously, I think, in, you know, LeBron, when LeBron was going out of his way to just raise the possibility passive aggressively that he could end up leaving the Lakers, you know, flirting with Cleveland, praising every GM in the league or every GM in sports that is not Rob Pelinka, and, you know, butting up against that, you know, that contention that Pelinka put out there that he and AD were fine with not making a move at the deadline. It's all leveraged by that threat that LeBron could leave, you know, that he could end up, you know, at, I guess, worse, forcing a trade, but just at best, allowing his contract to expire next season and then not re-upping with the Lakers. And the Lakers have to figure out, where do you go from there? And, you know, the idea that you would not want to be without LeBron's services. And I get LeBron is still a great player, but I don't think it is an automatic no-brainer, no questions asked, that you would look to extend LeBron this offseason and that you would look to try to keep this thing going as long as you possibly can. Because at that point, you're talking about a team that isn't just built around LeBron. It's built around LeBron and Anthony Davis, two guys that it has become increasingly clear you cannot count on them being on the court during the regular season or, you know, the playoffs, depending on how well you situate yourself in the regular season.
Unless you can arrange a four-month break between the regular season and the playoffs, in which case they can probably make that happen.
We're all hoping for another pandemic, Brian.
What do coaches look? What's good for the Lakers is what's good for the Lakers. What do coaches always say is the best ability?
Availability. And here's the thing too, like there on the YouTube page for Monday's show, we got a comment from Xavier Joseph who said, "The injury concerns for LeBron aren't a big deal to me. It's a no-brainer to re-sign him. If you can, look at the other stars, superstars in the league. Outside of Jokic and Giannis, and he's missed some time this year, these players miss a fair amount of games. Kawhi, KD, Steph, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, Harden, Embiid have all missed multiple games, multiple months to full regular seasons. The team around him is more of a concern." And Xavier's correct that it's not unique that LeBron and AD have missed games. It's that they're teammates. It's that they're the actual foundational pieces. Like, yeah, plenty of teams have one superstar or maybe other superstars that, you know, on the same team that have missed time. But when they're your foundation and they are, whoever your stars are a risk to miss time, that's a problem for long-term planning. You know, not to mention the fact that LeBron has more mileage than all these dudes.
Yeah, I mean, you can look around the league and, you know, obviously the Clippers are the best example of a team that has been, you know, short its stars. You know, Kawhi hasn't played at all this year and Paul George has missed a great deal of the season. You know, Miami, Jimmy Butler is always in and out of the lineup. Bam Adebayo was out for 6 weeks or whatever it was. But yeah, I mean, there's certainly the mileage aspect for LeBron particularly makes a difference. And, you know, the idea that Anthony Davis at this point is kind of injury prone, I feel like that's sort of just self-evident. But to your point, Andy, about the risk, I have a question for you about what happens if you don't extend LeBron or if you don't offer him a chance to re-up, and we'll get to that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Prize Picks. Okay, you've been hearing me talk about Prize Picks for months, and if you haven't signed up yet, you are missing out because Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You're going to love this app for NBA and mixed sport pick'ems, and there's a no-brainer of an offer for our users. You get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Pick entry scores a single point. So just pick the best scorer on any team that you know is healthy. Boom, you win. But you got to use the code NBA. That's right. It's an exclusive offer available for Locked On fans only who use the code NBA. And Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator, and it allows for mixed sport entries. So you can take the over on LeBron points with the under on, say, Matt Stafford completions once the NFL's back. So it's really fun, and these entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really easy. It's safe. They offer fast withdrawals. So again, go to prizepicks.com today. Use the promo code NBA or go to the App Store, download the app. If you're not playing Prize Picks, again, you have no idea what you're missing.
Okay, so you made a good point that, you know, the Lakers are taking a risk. If you extend, you know, Anthony Davis is signed for three more years after this one or two? I forget.
Through 2025, I believe, is right. When he has his first option.
Right. So two more years after this, or three more, whatever it is. You guys can do the math. I get what you're saying, that there is a huge risk from an injury standpoint, from an availability standpoint, in the creation of a team that is centered around those two guys. My question To counter it, though, is what's the alternative? And if you say we're not going to extend LeBron James, okay, what would be your next plan? Is it to let LeBron walk and then look for a different superstar to pair with Anthony Davis? Is it to trade Anthony Davis as well and start over? Because the Lakers are in a really tricky spot, regardless of what they do here.
Yeah, it's really difficult. I mean, the answer to your question is I'm not sure. I really don't know what they should be doing or if there's an obvious choice for them to make in the first place. All I'm saying is with the idea of extending LeBron, that is by definition, you are staying in win now mode. And if you are doing business with LeBron, that means you are having a willingness to put more assets on the table and surrender them in an effort.
Plus, you're going to have to use at least one draft pick on Bronny.
Yeah.
And you don't have many, but you got to use one of them on his kid.
Theoretically, you have to do that, assuming that it even lines up in a way that you're able to. But the idea being you're supposed to be in the most win now modes, and that is what is demanded of you when you go into business with LeBron. And that's fine. Except you have to ask yourself, are we actually in a position to win now? Like, does it actually put us in a position where we are realistically winning now? Because if, say, you're taking another 2 to 3 years and saying we are going to build around these stars that we're not sure are actually going to be available, then are you actually in win now mode, or are you sort of just cosplaying win now mode?
Well, yeah,
like look at the Clippers,
right?
With Kawhi and Paul George, they are built right now around two stars, both of which are younger than LeBron, but two guys who are not always available. And I don't fault the Clippers for making that move at all. That opportunity, they should have jumped on it when they did. And, you know, Steve Ballmer is clearly committed to trying to make this work. And we just saw that with the recent trade for Norm Powell and Robert Covington. But the reality is, other than that one trip to the Western Conference Finals, the Clippers have not had much to show for this, in very large part because those two guys are not reliably available, but they're in win now mode.
Right. And I ask, I'm not, in the case of the Clippers, like, sort of what's the alternative? I think what you're betting on is there's going to be a season where these guys are together. Like,
sure,
there's probably going to be, for every five, every 10, that we have, it's not going to last that long, but if we play 10 seasons out with these two guys, five of them are going to be undone by injury, but a couple of them won't be. And so you're taking the chance that you wouldn't, you'll have a season somewhere in there where those guys will be healthy for enough of the season. And you'll go into the playoffs with those two on your team and able to play. And I think the Lakers would be essentially making a similar bet, which is it may work like it does this year, where either Anthony Davis is out or either LeBron is out. The two questions that I think are just as important as the what kind of odds are you playing here. First one is, what do you do with the rest of the team? Because the Lakers have a different problem than some of the other teams have, which is they are extraordinarily limited in how they can build the rest of the roster around their stars, particularly now, at the post-Westbrook trade. The Clippers have a better infrastructure.
Sure.
Should those stars ever come back, they have more flexibility, even after trading their draft picks and stuff like that, that they've done, to kind of tinker around and do things because they have more players. The Lakers don't. So that leads to my next question. If you go with those two guys, and unless you can think of a way to build the infrastructure around them, are you good enough? And, is LeBron and AD as a core good enough in the way that most people thought that it would be? That if you have LeBron and you have AD and the numbers back it up, that is kind of enough as long as you have a halfway competent group around them. This year has shown that that may not entirely be true. And so it's a multi-pronged problem
Are they even getting to? Yeah, I mean, are they even in a position to maximize those two guys if you want to maintain the belief that they'll be on the court in the first place? But it becomes, again, really complicated by the fact that you can't rely on them to be on the court, and being with LeBron means you have to leverage whatever assets you have in order to try that put that stuff around him.
Okay, let me throw out one more, and then we'll take a break and we'll get to Russ. You could argue too that the Lakers are in a terrible position to try to rebuild, because
sure,
teams are just as aware that LeBron may or may not want to move. He might be diminishing. Wants to play with Bronny, whatever. I think you could get stuff for LeBron James. He scored 56 points in his last game. He's still excellent. I don't know what kind of trade package you get for Anthony Davis. Probably pretty good, but I don't know. Because the same reasons that the Lakers would want to trade these guys are reasons that other teams would be hesitant to take them back. And Russell Westbrook, if you try to get rid of that contract next year, is going to cost you stuff, more than likely. And so they don't have many assets to begin with. If you can, could you just recoup some of the stuff that you gave away in the Anthony Davis trade? So we don't have to figure it out now. All I'm saying is the Lakers are in a difficult spot. Even if they decide to blow it up, they're not in good position to do that either. And it just makes these offseason conversations that much more interesting, but also really difficult.
Yeah. I mean, to make it clear, I'm not raising this question about what you do with LeBron, because I think, you know, the cut and dry answer is cut bait. All I'm saying is, you know, all these different complicating factors make it I think more difficult question than a lot of people broadly treat it as.
I think that's fair. And something that we will definitely explore. We'd love to hear feedback from you guys about what you think in this, because, you know, we'll dive into it over the course of the next few weeks and months, but it gets into the competence of the front office and, you know, all kinds of different things and what you think of THT and a million other things. Andy, Russell Westbrook opened a bit of a Pandora's box in terms of the conversation about fans and athletes and athlete empowerment and what lane fans are allowed to stay in and how we talk about athletes and all this kind of stuff with his post-game press conference Monday night in San Antonio. We will continue to unpack that stuff next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. Okay, it's March. You are so done with everything you came up with your New Year's resolutions, trying to make yourself a better person. But there, you can still hang on to the idea of eating right, because Built Bar makes it easier. If you try, for example, try the puffs. If you have not tried the puffs, you are missing out on one of Built Bar's best.
You know who's got two thumbs and has tried the puffs? This guy.
Yeah, you know what? Two more thumbs. This guy. You know why?
Four thumbs in total.
Yeah. Protein-infused marshmallows. They're fluffy, marshmallowy, and awesome flavors. You got the cinnamony churro. You've got coconut marshmallow, banana cream. Just awesome flavors, always covered in 100% real chocolate, and so much better for you than like a candy bar. Usually those are 200 to 300 calories. Built bars contain usually around 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, but 17 grams of protein. And that's the good stuff. Always cool, interesting, unique taste combinations. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCK15, 15% off at built.com.
So by now, most people, I think, you know, most Laker fans certainly are familiar with the happenings of this week, spillover of a longstanding little battle between Russell Westbrook's wife, Nina, and Skip Bayless. And some reaction that Nina Westbrook had talking about threats that her family has received from Lakers fans on social media, and Russell Westbrook talking about the reception that he's been getting at games, you know, not wanting to bring his kids anymore because it's just not a good environment. People can read about a lot of the details, but this to me is just a fascinating moment, because it's both about Russ and it is specific to Westbrook, who is, you know, as you like to point out, like one of the most specific human beings to ever play in the NBA. But it's also not about Russ. It's about a lot of other things in that kind of dynamic between fans and players and the media and sort of social media and all this stuff. Like so much is rolled into this. And it's not surprising to me that, you know, we're still talking about it on Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. Let's begin with the ways that it's specifically about Russ. And okay. Then we can sort of build out into the way into the ways that it's about more than just him. One of the things that, you know, in thinking about this, that, and I've seen other people raise this point, Tom Ziller, Miles Brown on Twitter, the idea that some of this is really exacerbated by Russ himself mm-hmm. and the way that he treats criticism in general and just his lack of patience for anything that ever resembles it. And, you know, how contentious he can get with media, how contentious he can get with fans, you know, often, frankly, pretty damn rude and in ways that can be uncalled for. And in certain respects, this has come back around to bite him in the ass. And like, it's karmic, not in the sense that I think like he necessarily deserves it, but it's karmic in the sense that you can kind of see it coming. Yeah. And like, were Russ not this way, you know, particularly this season where, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, Russ has been like this his whole career. I mean, he's talked a lot of crap to a lot of people, but for a long time, his play could back it up. And he's continued doing it this season, even when his play is not at that level in ways that he sometimes doesn't even seem willing to acknowledge. If he didn't act this way, there would still be fans who would be out of pocket and completely, you know, jerks about it, because that's just the way certain fans
I mean, like all of this whole conversation, just so people understand, takes place in the context of it is never, ever, 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 never, ever acceptable for a fan to make a threat to a player, to sure. a player's family, yes. to talk about players' families, to involve their children. Like all of those things are 1,000% off limits. If you do it on social media, you should be thrown off the platform. If you do it inside a building, you should be barred from the building. That is the context in which we're having this conversation,
right.
just so people understand.
But the way Russ has presented himself and really going out of his way to maintain that contentiousness, it's not allowed for him to, I think, broadly speaking, generate a lot of sympathy or like mm-hmm. cut a sympathetic figure. Like compare that to a couple seasons ago when KCP got off to that brutal start. It was actually the championship season. Mm-hmm. He got off to a brutal start and was getting booed viciously by fans. And there was a lot of sympathetic reaction, though, to KCP in the midst of all that, because all KCP was doing was struggling to put up shots. In the meantime, you know, he was busting his ass on the court. You could never accuse that guy of taking a playoff. And he was pretty soft-spoken and humble. And like KCP was a good guy. We both really liked him.
Sure.
Like, but the difference there's going to be a difference in reaction to a guy struggling like KCP versus struggling like Russ.
True. But there's also a difference in the importance of a player like KCP and the importance of a player like Russ. I mean, Russ, you know, it's not entirely his fault. The Lakers traded for Russell Westbrook. And for even when things were going well for Russ, relatively speaking, and still poorly for the Lakers, Westbrook was just playing like Russell Westbrook. And like people were like surprised that it wasn't working or mad at him. Like what he wasn't always even doing anything wrong. And you know, what I just think is so interesting about this too, like kind of to your point is, It is related to what he symbolizes for this team. It is related to his relationship with media and with fans and sort of the polarizing figure that he's kind of always been and to some degree has thrived on. But before it was like he could point to the criticism and say, folks, I'm posting triple doubles every night. Like you can say what you want about me, but obviously I'm doing something right here. And, you know, I am one of the 75 greatest players who ever played this game. And like, you know, they didn't have the list out, but he could still put himself on it and all that stuff. And now his response is basketball, but it's just a game. It's just a
what's more important to me is my family, and what's more important about my legacy is what I'm doing in the community. And he's doing some incredible stuff with financial empowerment for underserved communities and all this. And he's exactly right. But this is, Dan, this is what I mean when I say it's sometimes a little bit broader than him. This is one of those offshoots to me of the whole more than an athlete thing, where in the broad terms, athletes like Russ are exactly right. This isn't the most important part of their legacy. Magic Johnson's work in HIV and LeBron's work in Akron with schools and developing and things Kobe has done with women's sport, like all of this stuff down the line with athlete now after athlete after athlete. Those things are, in fact, far more important than the work that they do on the court. But they're also not the thing that draws our interest. It's like, that's great, Russ. Like, I think you're a great dad, and like, kudos to you. But I'm not interested in you because you're a great dad or because the work you're doing in financial empowerment. I'm interested in you because you play for my favorite team. And that is a, I don't know if contrast is the right word or whatever the right word is, but that's the
paradox. The push,
thank you. Or whatever it is, the push-pull that a lot of this era that we're in sits in. And I don't, and athletes haven't, I think, totally adjusted to it. You can't have the adoration without some of the criticism. I don't think the media has been particularly hard on Russ locally this year.
No, I don't. If anything, Russ has been harder on them.
Yeah. I think the media has actually been pretty sympathetic to Westbrook this
year. I don't know if they've been sympathetic or not. I just think they've largely just been asking him normal questions that you would ask him, and Russ doesn't mm-hmm. like it, and Russ has never liked dealing with media, and this is just sort of a thing of his. I don't think the media has been particularly friendly or unfriendly towards
him. My point is, rather fair. I think the local media has been fair.
Yeah, it's certainly, I mean, it's not been like a New York or Philadelphia type reception towards Russ. Like, in terms of that idea of what's within bounds, what's off limits, you know, a lot's been made by Russ. I saw his brother talking about it on Twitter, his brother Ray, you know, the idea of Westbrook and that nickname. Look, I don't blame Russ for finding it annoying. Like, it would be annoying to see that, you know, see that on social media, hear that in a building. The idea that that's out of pocket because that's Russ's family name. I say this as somebody who finds Westbrook in a vacuum to be lame as an insult.
Yeah.
It's also a pun. Like, it's a pun on his last name. And, you know, I saw Max Kellerman made a really interesting point this morning talking with Key and Jay Williams. When you are a public figure by choice, bringing your family name into it is part of the cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
And truth be told, if Russell Westbrook's last name was Westlake, you know, like a different body of water we're talking about, West River, you know, West Ocean. No,
I understand. Sure, I understand what you mean.
He'd be hearing the exact West same Fjord. Stuff. Yeah, he'd be hearing the exact same stuff, but without a pun. Like, I'm sorry, the idea that that becomes out of bounds, I think in certain respects, that's Russ kind of trying to shield himself off too much. Like, I get the idea that, you know, his kids, you know, could possibly get teasing from it. And I have sympathy for his children over that. And like, look, if you see that his children are at a game, or if you happen to see Russell Westbrook with his kids at a grocery store, like, don't start chanting Westbrook at him. Because that just makes you an asshole. Like,
it makes you one anyway. He's at the grocery store. Leave the guy alone.
Right. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there are boundaries. Like, all of these situations are contextual and contain boundaries. And I think the general rule of thumb is, does this make me an a-hole? And if you can even come up with the reason why the answer is yes, then don't do it. But the idea that it could be annoying for Russ, and I think like the idea of Westbrook being annoying is under the general umbrella of heckling, I don't think that's too far.
I will say, though, and we can wrap here, because I'm not even sure we're done talking about this kind. I think this moment is really interesting. I agree with you. Westbrook is not out of pocket. I'm not even sure Russ was trying to make the contention that it was
like crossing lines in the same way that a lot of things do.
No, but,
it's not important.
But no, I think it's important because I think he was. Oh, I know, but I'm saying I think it's important to note that I think he was actually presenting this because he said, I'm going to battle back against this.
Right. But that's because I think in his mind, and it, all I'm saying, I agree with you. I don't think it's that. I think it is a low level fan taunt. But I will say it was an interesting thing for him to put in perspective why it bothered him and why, you know, this sort of thing about his name and his family's name and all this stuff was important to him enough that he would want to push back on this and decided that Westbrook was no longer okay with him, you know, to the extent that it was before. Do I think it would be, he would even be having this conversation about Westbrook, which is something we'd be hearing even if he was playing well? Of course not. Is it all in the context of this broader thing of like, I don't really like being criticized right now? Of course it is. But it was still an interesting thing to me, where as a fan, I would go, okay, huh, a player's, you know, making fun, like making a joke that involves a player's name. It was an interesting perspective on it that I hadn't thought about why it would bother them in a way that I might say, huh, maybe I'll come up with something else to mock. Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't, but it was something I hadn't heard before and therefore found kind of interesting. So we'll see about LeBron long-term. We'll see about the Lakers long-term, about the play-in long-term. I don't know how long a term Russell Westbrook still has in Los Angeles. All this stuff doesn't necessarily seem to help. But plenty of intrigue still following around this team because they are, in fact, the Lakers. Locked On Lakers on YouTube, and we will see everybody on Thursday.